Well, welcome back, everybody, to Take Me To Your Reader, discussing adapted science fiction at its best and worst. I'm Seth.
I'm James.
And I'm Colin.
And this time we're picking up more Murderbot. And we're going to talk. Yes, we're going to be talking about episodes 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
We did a previous episode on the first two episodes that dropped. We'll do another one on the final four. And yeah, so it's just at this point, it's sort of a check-in, right? Because we can't talk about the rest of the series, just what we've gotten up to this point. And so I wanted to start by just kind of getting a check-in with you guys about how do you think of the series so far? To this point, before we get into any specifics.
Yeah. So. It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and the waitress comes by right after you get your food and you've had a bite or two to make sure that everything's basically okay.
When you're in the middle of a bite.
Yes. And then like later on, 10 minutes later, then the manager comes by because he wants to know if you've enjoyed the entire meal or not.
Yes. So
that's where we're at now.
Yeah. So this is the awkward mouthful of food trying to say.
Exactly. Yeah. And then at the end of the meal, you get to decide whether or not your server gets a tip or not.
Right. Because tipping is really dumb. It just allows restaurants to pay people less.
Unfortunately, Emily keeps telling me tipping's mandatory, so I don't really get the choice.
I like places that just add a gratuity.
Right. Be done.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho, what do you think?
I'm still in that uncanny valley problem where, you know, I have listened to the story performed in two different audiobooks, and I've read the story over and over and over. I've read the future books, and there's a lot of canonical stuff from the original story in here. Mm-hmm. They have ripped out some things and they've put some new stuff in. We'll probably talk about pacing a little bit later.
Yeah.
I think if I had no idea about the stories, I would like this more.
Mm.
But I keep comparing it to the original and finding it, I like the original better.
Yeah.
And coming from me, that shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah. We were talking before we started recording about some of the character changes for characters that aren't super well developed in the book. And so the fact that they're taking somebody in a different direction, you feel like probably, well, if that's where Martha Wells wanted it to go, she would have done it. So this is wrong.
Yeah. Although, you know, I do a lot of reading, and there are sometimes authors say, yes, this was a brilliant thing. Why didn't I think of it?
Mm-hmm.
And other things, they're probably like, yeah, you know, you have your turn to do with it. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would have to, because we've also come across the flip side of that where authors are okay with the changes they made to go to film because of the difference in the medium.
Sure.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. But I don't think any of those changes would really apply in this case.
But to your point, unless you're, you're right. Like we were just talking about with Pin Lee. She's not really a lawyer in this version. At least I don't recall.
They haven't said one way or the other yet. But okay. I had her I always pictured her as this very put together, proper, snappy, aggressive kind of person. This is a very different Pin Lee.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the interesting things is we're not spending a ton of time with the preservation. I mean, I guess we are. We're just not spending a ton of time with anybody.
We're not spending a whole lot of time developing anybody but Murderbot and Mensa.
Yes.
And they are the main characters.
My point is, like, I picture them as all being pretty competent in the books. And the parts that where the humor comes from in the novels or in the novellas is, yeah, they're competent at the thing that they do, but they may be pretty clueless about the security stuff.
Yes, exactly. Right. Because humans should not do their own security because they're idiots.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Agreed.
I want to talk about the pacing because I've been thinking, because we just got through Andor not too long ago, right? Where the way they released it was it's essentially like, was it three or four movies?
Two episodes a week.
Right.
Three. Which was basically.
It was three.
Three episodes a week, right?
Yeah.
And it was essentially a movie a week, right?
Showing one arc per week, kind of. I don't think that there was necessarily a way to do that with Murderbot, but I think I would have preferred it instead of being 10 episodes. Is it 10 or 12?
It's 10.
It's 10. I think I would have preferred it being like 5 episodes of double the length.
I have felt
let down by the episode sizing.
Yeah. I feel there every time I watch it so far, I feel like it's too short.
Yeah.
You remember my catchphrase from Lost?
Those rat bastards.
Yes. I found myself saying that after episode 4, which tells me that I'm invested in it. I'm disappointed. And over the last few episodes, I've found something that helps me with that.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the previous episode and then the newly released episode back to back.
Okay.
So,
but you still have to sit on the rat bastardness of it for a week.
Yeah. I do like this idea and I might try that next week. And I think once the whole thing's out, I want to binge watch the entire thing together.
Oh, I think that's totally worth doing.
Yeah. And it might be a good idea for us all to do that before we record our final one. If we're going to sum up our thoughts on the whole thing, right?
But the other thing about with pacing, I don't think has to do with the length of the episodes. I think it has to do with the lack of plot and the lack of things happening.
Yeah.
So They're developing other characters and relationships, and in that, I think we get a reflection of how they have a relationship with Murderbot, mm-hmm. right? And in the story, that's not needed because yeah. everything mm-hmm. is reflected through Murderbot's thoughts and judgments on what they do,
mm-hmm.
right?
So there was after episode two, there was the cliffhanger of showing that bad things had happened at Doubtfall, right? Mm-hmm. And so, right. to my mind, the duty of the next episode is to really get to Doubtfall and do some stuff. And they did not in episode three. They got to Doubtfall and then it just made another cliffhanger out of, you know, it was like, you know, the weekly comics, like Spider-Man in the weekly paper where like nothing would happen during the week. And then Sunday would show up and sort of recap everything that happened and not move the ball forward at all. And you're like, well, why am I reading this? It's going nowhere. And so episode three, I was very disappointed with. I didn't go back and rewatch it. I wish I had, because maybe there was more there than I remember, but I literally wrote down no notes. I'm like,
I think boring. Colin's method would solve that problem. Because then something did happen in the next episode after that.
yeah. And so that's my problem with, I feel like if you have to watch it in twos,
right.
the individual episodes are too short.
Why were they released in twos?
Now, part of it I get, because this is definitely being positioned as a musical or comedy show, you know, in the Golden Globes or I'm not sure if the Emmys has that. I mean, the episode length is like the same length as Ted Lasso episodes, right? But it's streaming. You don't have to stick to the same episode length.
Does the episode length matter for like that awards?
I don't think it does. It's just that's what people expect from a comedy.
Oh, okay.
That it's going to be in the sitcom slot, right?
Oh.
And so, but like I said, where with Ted Lasso and some other things, right? In the streaming era, you can use as much time as you want. You're probably not going to put a 2-hour episode out. Maybe you will, but you don't have to stick to 23 minutes every time.
Yeah. Right.
And so when it's like, okay, we need to have the confrontation with the bad murder bot, you know, in this episode, let's not push that to episode four. Let's do it in episode three.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of my thoughts is that the pacing is part of the episode structure as well. And it feels really slow when you have a 22, 23 minute episode go by. And what happened exactly? You went from point A to point B and mm-hmm. that's about it.
Yeah. So they're, you know, from an overall plotting standpoint, they are staying pretty close to the highlights of the story.
Yes.
You know, they go to Doubtfall, they go in, find out that everybody is dead except for some of the sec units. Murderbot fights the sec units. He gets a combat override module put into him. Mm-hmm. Funny mm-hmm. little pause here. I always picture that to be like a USB thumb drive.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just my point of reference. Mm-hmm. So I like the little CGI spider thing. I don't get why the threads have to come out of it, but that's neither here nor there.
Just to make it a little more complicated, right? To build up the suspense for did they get them all?
Yeah.
Episode four was where we got the Sanctuary Moon theme song, which we had never heard up until then. Episode four also, like, one thing that I like about extending an adaptation of something relatively short to a whole streaming series is the idea that you can fill in some extra information. That's what I was so frustrated about episode three with. I'm like, I felt like nothing really happened in the A plot and there wasn't really a B plot. Mm-hmm. And so then episode four starts with a view into the sec unit factory, you know, and a little bit about the corporation rim and how terrible
it
is.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool. You know,
the sec factory was rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So episode four was where, do you guys have anything about episode three?
I don't have episode specific notes. I just kind of have things kind of like overarching.
Okay. I mean, it's the one where they take the hopper out to Doubtfall, across the ocean or whatever. And it's just sort of
that wasn't really.
I wanted elliptical travel, Colin.
Oh,
we left there, we arrived here, and now we have 18 minutes of action at Doubtfall instead of like 4 minutes of action at Doubtfall.
Yeah, yeah. Everything was saved for episode four.
Yeah, exactly. And because episode four, I thought was great. And there was a lot of stuff in it where Murderbot is losing pretty badly and Mensa comes in with the sick mining drill kill, which I think was in the book.
Yes. Was it not? Yeah. There was quite a bit more fighting mm-hmm. and I would have enjoyed more Murderbot, you know, sec unit on sec unit combat.
Yep. Yep.
Some sweet sec unit action.
Well, and the whole discussion of, you know, this is how we fight one another. We throw ourselves at each other
right.
and, you know, just blow all the shit up.
I totally pictured like a T2, right? when mm-hmm. when they're in the hallway just throwing each other through yep. the wall. Yes. Not really fighting, just gang, gang, gang.
Well, even with that one in Terminator 2, right, they're assessing the capabilities of the other. Yeah. As they're doing that, where sec units right. know what the capabilities are. Right. They're like, oh, that's a combat unit. I'm screwed. Well, let me just try for the run straight at them tactic. But then you get that, you know, sec unit is kind of damaged and is the reality kind of blurs between Sanctuary Moon and like he's saying lines from, yeah, he is very disoriented.
And that's where Mensa starts to stand up, right? She's the one that kills the offending Murderbot or sec unit and mm-hmm. helps Murderbot get out to the front. Mm-hmm. Right. But then everything goes to pot again.
Yep. You have to kill me. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and Labibi shows up and I'm like, who's this? Ah. Whatever. That was, yeah.
Oh, that was a left field thing, right?
Yeah. Totally non-canonical.
Well, but it was one of those things where it's, for me, I liked it because it's one of those, like, for if you've read the books, you probably know this isn't a good guy.
Right. Yeah. Well, even if you weren't, the odds of everyone in there being dead as long as they had, and for someone to still be alive because the Deltfall sec units have a complete roster of everybody mm-hmm. and right. know what they do. And the lady doing the laundry did not run off into the wilderness and not get eaten by, you know, sandworms. So. Yeah. I was disappointed in that. I think they could have done that. I think they could have omitted that completely and not lost anything.
Mm-hmm. I was disappointed until we got that awesome headshot.
Yeah. Right. It paid off in episode 6.
Because that was fantastic.
So episode 5, so we were talking before we started recording about, is it Abibi or Labibi?
Labibi.
Labibi.
Labibi. Labibi. Is a weirdo, right? Hey, right. boo-boo. Yeah. Hey, boo-boo. Yeah, it is such a weirdo from the very beginning, right?
A little bit, yeah.
And like the kissing the hand and stuff, mm-hmm. and was that weird? And I wanted to go, that's weird. I mean, we've all known each other a long time, and we have not gotten to kissing each other's boo-boos. Maybe it's a guy thing. So
pretty sure not.
People out there, how weird is it that a stranger is kissing right. your boo-boos? And by Thanks. Boo-boos, of course, I mean owies.
Well, it is the future. Sexuality, very different.
Right,
from
right.
That.
Yeah,
like you could put a pee-pee right on a sec unit, right. and you could program it to go up and get as long as you want. And then you would squeeze the balls, do this, and
I found all that pretty funny, and just weird. You know,
I think, you know, and this is all down to individual taste, right?
Yeah,
a lot less would have been funny. Okay. That was egregiously gross.
All the jokes were turned up to 11.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe 15.
Right. And to me, it was like, this is Labibi's way to disarm people and be like, they're not going to suspect me mm-hmm. if I come across like I'm so PTSD, all I can focus on is, does the sec unit have a pee-pee?
I didn't get that at all.
Okay. So yeah, in that episode, that's episode 5, we finally get Garothan revealing the nature of sec unit. That sec unit is indeed already emancipated.
Yes.
Yep.
He's rogue.
Yeah, he's rogue. It's rogue. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, that's an important thing. And one thing that I really like about the way it's written and performed, especially by Alexander Skarsgård, is after that revelation, Murderbot is all of a sudden talking a little more freely. Because before, it was very guarded about,
right.
you know, I can't say that because that could reveal, mm-hmm. you know, I can't refuse to do this thing that somebody with an intact governor module would do.
That's right, because you'd get zapped.
And so, you know, when they go out and the beacon blows up, and that's the cliffhanger at the end of episode 5.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then like you have a repair manual for this, right? Well, no, I had to delete it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
To hold season 19 of Sanctuary Moon.
Now, we're all tech people.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And I thought you might pick up on this too.
Thinking tech manual, fairly small.
Yep.
An entire right. season.
Right. Yes. Is it not just a PDF? I mean, it's a few kilobytes.
Right. That's what I was saying too.
The way I retconned it was repair manuals in the future are full holographic immersion things. And so they take up more space.
Oh, that's
okay. Fair. I can buy that.
Right. Even so. but I like the way Murderbot says, well, there was a copy on the hopper. So mine was redundant, so I deleted it. You know, which makes a certain amount of sense, but now...
It's logical. It's a logical argument.
Yeah,
it's redundant. Get rid of it.
Yeah. I didn't anticipate
until the hopper breaks.
Yeah. Until the hopper breaks, yeah. You'd think maybe you'd want to have a hard copy somewhere, you know, right. just like in a rental car, you know?
Right.
But...
Well, if it's fully holographic immersion, then, you know, how does a hard copy compare to that?
True. Yeah. Murder Bot. Like, I don't know what to do with this damn thing. Yes. Yeah.
And I clearly misinterpreted the purpose of getting to that wire, I guess.
In his back or in the thing?
Yeah, I thought they were going to take the wire and connect it to the ship.
So connect Murder Bot directly to it?
Connect Murder Bot directly to the hopper so then yeah. He could control the hopper and they could get home. Mm. And then when she completely took the wire out, I was like, oh, crap, she fucked up. But then she really didn't because I guess it was using as a jumper.
Just splicing it.
So I'm like, wait a minute, there's... What about all the other wire in this shit? Right. Really? Yeah. Is this necessary?
With all the wire in the ship, they could not have sacrificed the one that goes to the toilet. Right? Right. That instead.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big, and that's, wait that, a minute. That's the thing, right? In the book, they have the big hopper and the little hopper, right?
Yeah. Right.
And that big hopper is big. And you got to think there's quarters in there. There's all kinds of stuff. There's got to be thousands of meters of wire in that craft. So
it just doesn't need a pea corner. We're good.
Yeah, exactly.
And as with regarding the plot, in the original story, they don't have to go out there because they know the damn thing is broken.
Right.
Here, they have to go out there. It has to blow up. They have to crash land. And then you think, well, why do they have to crash land? Well, they have to crash land so that Labibi can whip out a gun and try and hold people hostage. But they get back in time anyway.
Yeah.
So
Labibi can whip out her BB gun?
Yes. I'm like, what? Why? Who cares? Why?
Yeah. And it's moving at the speed of plot, right? Where it's kind of like in Andor, the episode where Andor is stuck with the ne'er-do-well rebels, right?
Yeah, Rebel A and Rebel B.
Where that episode, fine, you know, whatever. Some people like it. Some people defend it. I look at it as that was an episode for keeping Andor away from the rest of the plot.
That was a total throwaway
episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, for pacing, it was really weird. And and I don't, it didn't really move the plot forward other than to say, hey, by the way, the Rebel Alliance is not an alliance yet.
Right.
It was fractured at the time. Bad. But they could have done the same thing just by bringing in Saw Gerrera, which they did anyway later. Yeah.
So that's like having the beacon blow up. You know, was having the whole, like, the satellite go down and everything. They didn't have any information. Now they got to go out there and look at it. It blows up. It keeps them separated. It feels like stretching, right? Like padding the plot.
Yeah.
And so that's part of my frustration. Maybe by the end of the season, it'll come around well enough that won't bother me. But as of right now, I'm like, eh.
Yeah. So, you know, applying the Stephen King rule, 122 pages is good for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. This is essentially 5 hours long. So really, you'd want 244 pages. Mm-hmm. And this book is not that big. So I guess it might need to be stretched.
It's in the ballpark, yeah.
You think it is?
It depends on the pagination, right? Depends on the format of it.
I think it's more novella format, so it's underneath that.
Most novellas, they end up putting them in smaller book formats too, and so it actually does pad the pages as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I think, you know, around 200 pages is the way I picture a novella, 180 to 220, you know, depending on that.
I thought a novella was more like 120.
It's a word count thing.
Oh. Got it.
So word count is a better way of judging,
right? Because
page count is completely dependent on the page size. Because, like, you read a book like Citeen by C.J. Cherry, and I have no idea what the word count is, but that thing's the size of a dictionary. And so
is it large print?
If it says 600 pages, it's reading more like 1,000.
Right.
So
it's 160 pages according to Wikipedia.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it again. Okay. If you don't have Kevin R. Free being the voice of Art, you're missing a golden opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm anxiously waiting for season 2.
You don't think it's just going to be Alan Tudyk?
Oh, gosh. I mean, he's a fine actor.
Touché.
And he does a great voice. Alan Tudyk. Yeah. And if you get John Cho to be on the serials with Clark Gregg, we get signals from the inside. Commands from the inside.
Commands from the inside. I do love all the little glimpses of Sanctuary Moon. And I thought it was a sweet moment between Murderbot and Mensa when Mensa is having another one of her panic attacks, right?
Yes.
And Murderbot's like, I'm monitoring your vitals. You're not having a heart attack.
Right.
So sit down.
But logic has no play at that point.
No, definitely not. But but I think knowing the person that it was coming from Murderbot, who was monitoring your vitals, might help. And just, you know, focus on this thing, right? And we're breathing together.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
Yeah. That's something from they are bringing back from the future stories into this time. But right now, Mensa's role is supposed to be completely different than that.
Yeah.
She is supposed to be the competent leader of the expedition, and she's not.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not even getting consensus.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's still better than the others, though, I think.
Yeah, they're not doing a whole lot with any of the others, right? They've got the weird...
Thruple.
yeah, contract marriage,
right,
throuple thing going.
Make sure I'm not missing anybody. You get the throuple, Garothin, and Menthol. That's about it, right?
Bardwaj.
Bardwaj.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. We don't have Oversay.
No Oversay.
Yeah.
No.
But yeah. I like the, there's a good physical comedy moment when, of course, anybody who knows anybody, anything about
the headshot?
No. That was another part. Anybody knows anything about, has watched a medical show, says you have something sticking out of you. You don't just pull it out, right? You have to be ready for that. And so shocking no one, Murderbot is eventually compromised by that. And I like the moment, I can take a look.
Dr. Mintz, you need to understand that I am not human.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did really like the scene where Mensa cuts open his back.
Yeah. 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 It was cool.
I'm a vegetarian.
That was rad. Yes. I like the way they're doing his reboots. His reboots are fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing when they did the shooting that they weren't necessarily thinking about the framing of all of the highlight graphics for Murderbot, because I think there's a lot of in jokes and other things that I am at least missing because it's shot against a light background. The times where it's backward.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think if they just showed it a little bit longer so you could read it, that would help. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, there's a few spots where the lighting totally washes out the digital screen, I think.
Yeah. Where I think you're just supposed to know Murderbot is analyzing something, but we don't know what.
Yeah.
But in the time where they use the graphics to show like something happens and you can watch his performance reliability drop, which is something that comes right out of the story, right? Yeah. He gets uncomfortable because he loses 3% reliability.
Yeah.
And so you can see that happen and he doesn't have to narrate it. Mm-hmm. When you lose that, then you're stuck with the voiceover.
Yeah. I appreciated the Terminator 2 reference where Rati was talking, the thruple is talking about if they're comfortable with the whole rogue sec unit thing. And Rati says something about how, I know now why you humans have water leak from your eyes. I'm like, that's totally Terminator 2.
But I'm wondering from a plot standpoint, what they're developing. Why do they have to not trust Murderbot? At this point, they should be trusting him quite a bit because they know that he was rogue. Mm-hmm. He has saved their life multiple times when he didn't have to.
But then they also set up at the very end, right, where Murderbot is like, I expected that, they would be coming, getting closer to me and stuff, but they're not. I freaked them out by exploding somebody's head, which we'll talk about, which felt good. Right.
Yeah. So maybe they're going to be doing more backstory development on Murderbot. Mm-hmm. Right. That's still one of my major problems with this is this is a very different Murderbot than the one from the story. Mm-hmm. Right. That Murderbot was one that had freed himself so that it would never be in a position of being told to kill people because of its governor module.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a very different person.
Mm-hmm. This show does illustrate that you don't try and negotiate with murder bots.
Yeah.
Standoffs are not going to end well. It's like the fifth element. Anybody else want to negotiate?
You do promise to protect all of us. Yes.
Yeah.
Even Garothin.
Yeah, him too.
Him too.
Yeah. So I like, she barely gets out the one step closer and just boom, head disappears.
Yeah. Yep.
By the way, Apple TV, just in case you hear this, you need to develop a slow motion mode because we totally want to
see that. That'd be rad. Uh-huh. It did happen so fast.
Like, yep.
Awesome.
And in honor of the Florence whale blowing up, the blasted brains beyond all believable bounds.
Yes.
All over. Garothin and Bardwaj.
Yes.
Chunks all over the place.
Chunks all
over. Well, and Rothy blue chunks. There were more, not enough chunks, so Rothy had to make some.
Right.
Yep. And then Pin Lee is just laughing hysterically.
Yeah. That's
from trauma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I wonder, what's going to happen? What are they going to tell us about Garothin's backstory in the Corporation Rim that is so important that they had to hint at it in the previous episodes? And what happens with his crush on Dr. Mensa and why?
You think it's a crush?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Go back and watch the episode a third time and only pay attention to when he's trying to call her on the phone, on the radio, over the cell phone network. And then his relief when to find out she's alive. And when he's told that she's dead that he activates a hub system to show their records.
Mm. I always pictured it as more of a, maternal relationship kind of, but could be the other way. You never know. Twisty, sexy things.
With the President of Alliance, you don't really know.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. Everybody could be related to everybody else.
my third mom, my second dad.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Well, it's like the line marriages in The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. Yeah, I'm curious because they definitely have seeded some information of Garothan really has an axe to grind against the corporation.
Yeah.
And we don't know
right,
why.
Right. So yeah.
Maybe he was augmented against his will.
Maybe. Could be.
Well, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
So I like the way this episode left off, right? It didn't leave off on a super rat bastard kind of cliffhanger.
Oh, no.
We're now in the calm before in the storm, right? Because we haven't met who the real enemy is yet.
Well,
right.
We did.
Well, we did, but they're succubates anyway, right? And well, and Labibi, but not as a group.
But we don't know it's Grey Chris yet in the show. Right?
No names have been given yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they lost their opportunity with the headshot. So.
Yeah.
And there's no drones.
Which Garothan was very quick to point out. Mm.
Yeah, the drone warfare stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah, I do kind of miss the drones. The drones were rad.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who knows? Could still get it.
True.
Yeah, I mean, there's four episodes.
And then we get to do the Murderbot Wookiee prisoner trick, you know, when Murderbot puts on the Deltfall or the Grey Chris, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Armor. So, anyhow, final thoughts?
I still issued rat, or still uttered rat bastard after episode 6 when I saw it the first time.
Okay.
Because now I'm left wondering, what does he mean by, and I liked it? Is that a hearkening back to the fact that he had gone rogue earlier mm-hmm. before he hacked his governor module and had the mm-hmm. huge mining incident episode? Or is that something else? Or he wants that relational distance from them, one or the other.
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of seeing it as creating like a relational conflict. Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they
clearly, yeah. clearly have no concept of like seeing murder, right?
Right.
They were all just totally broken by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with everything they've seen,
mm-hmm. that's, yeah, I kind of would have liked seeing a scene where they're like, was that the only decision you could have made there? Like, no, but it was, you know,
it was.
I did the math and the best chance of getting all of you out of it alive was
right.
I killed a girl and I liked it. So with apologies to mm-hmm. whatever her name is.
Oh, Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he has time to walk in with his helmet up. I'm wondering, why doesn't he walk in with his gun port raised so that as she's running over to Garothan, he doesn't, you know, blow off her head? But I guess it's more dramatic this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. More of a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, the interior of that place was boring anyway. Needed right. a little paint on the wall.
Yeah. Need a little cherry pie.
Isn't there an art form where you take paint and flick it against the canvas instead of stroking it on there? So really, yes. It's Murderbot art.
Right.
You
right.
can take off that wall section and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
No. Art's in the next season.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we sort of, Murderbot mentioned that right. transports use the human neural tissue kind of stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we were all like, yeah, that's art. Art is confirmed.
Yes. Actually, this is my big fear. I don't know if Martha Wells was counting on developing this beyond the first story.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way this story wraps up mm-hmm. is really unique. I really liked it. And it clarifies the reason why it's called the Murderbot Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of that's going to happen. I think that we're gonna go straight to art at the end of this episode, and that's it.
You mean we're not going to have the conceit of it being something that Mensa is reading?
If I were going to write this, and that's the first problem, because mm-hmm. you probably don't want me writing this, it would be very, very similar to the story, right. and that might not be the best of things. I want to have a shot of Murderbot with his helmet on doing voiceover, and he's saying, and that, Dr. Mensa, is why I have sent all this to you. And then it pulls out so that you know that she's looking at a screen, and then it rotates so that you see Mensa on the screen, and in the background, you see the transport taking off.
Mm.
That's how I want this to end.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Mm. It could, but probably not.
Probably not.
Nope.
All right. So we will
reconvene. Stranger things have happened.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure.
So any other final thoughts? Okay. We will reconvene in 4 weeks and do the other part.
Okay. After we get our Murderbot tattoos.
Ooh, I don't remember signing up for this.
The paperwork coming.
Okay. Okay.
There'll be a contract.
Okay. Sounds good.
With the thruple.
The best tactic is to come in and pretend you're going to give somebody a back rub and then immediately switch. So now you're getting a back rub.
Right.
So let us know, everybody, what do you think of the episode so far? What do you think of the pacing? What do you think of the episode length? We went on about that at some length. And yeah, like, have you been rewatching all the episodes in order to try and get more of the full picture, or been going episode to episode? I do think we should all plan to do a full rewatch before the end, or at least like watch all. I might do it so that I watch all of it leading up to the final episode before I watch the final one. Maybe not watch it all as, you know, that's one way of watching the entire thing and as a set.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, then, may the road rise up to meet you, and may the book always fall open to where you left off. Bye, everybody.